Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for Women Over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. Hi and welcome. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. Today we'll be talking to two great women, an author coach and an author humorist, about the complex and impactful relationship between mothers and daughters. Karen C.L. Anderson is a writer and master certified life coach. She is the author of the international best-selling book, The Peaceful Daughter's Guide to Separating from a Difficult Mother. She also works with women to help them recognize, heal, and stop passing down their mother wound, the pain of being a woman in a patriarchal culture, which often shows up as people-pleasing, not being able to say no, weak boundaries, and fear of expressing themselves and their preferences. Were you in my therapy session last week? Karen lives with her husband in Connecticut. Anne Imig is the founder of the live reading series and video sharing company Listen to Your Mother and editor of the acclaimed anthology Listen to Your Mother, What She Said Then, What We're Saying Now. A stay-at-home humorist, Anne's writing has been featured on sites like Huffington Post and The Washington Post. Her national TV appearances include ABCNews.com and NBC Nightly News. Anne's blog, AnnesRants.com, has been named a Babbel Top 100 Mom Blog, a blog her voice of the year, and a She Knows Top 5 Funniest Mom Blog. Anne lives with her husband and children in Madison, Wisconsin. So welcome, Karen and Anne.
Thank you.
Karen, let's start with you. Tell me a little bit about your journey to your present incarnation and your involvement with the topic of mothers.
Well, I have a mother. Let's start there. And throughout my life, I have struggled in that relationship. But what's actually even kind of more interesting in a way is that I watched my mother struggle in her relationship with her mother. And it wasn't until in the past several years that I kind of realized that a lot of what I was playing out in that relationship with my own mother was what she played out in her relationship with her mother. And it was funny because I am a writer first and foremost, and I decided somewhere along the lines thinking, oh, I should become a life coach. I don't know why I thought that, but I just thought, oh, that's what all the cool kids are doing, so I'm going to go do that. And it was during my life coach training, both the sort of like the regular class that I went through, and then I went and did this master certification, that if you're going to become a coach, if you want to be, you know, do that kind of work, you have to like work on your own stuff. And I didn't realize just how much this was sort of playing in the back of my mind without me realizing it. And so I did a lot of work on that relationship, and really it was work on me and what I thought about that relationship and how I had all these sort of unconscious beliefs about my mother and about myself as a result that sure. led me to that. And so, as I said, being a writer, it was like, okay, I can't keep this to myself.
Sure.
So I wrote the book.
And Anne?
I'm just listening to Karen and thinking about my own journey and like through that lens, and it's really interesting. I have a social work background, which wasn't coaching focused, but there's a parallel for sure. And that coincided with my becoming a mother myself. And I have a very close relationship with my mom. So I've watched from what we know of our family history, I feel like each mother has had a little more support and has been able to mother more the way she wanted with each generation, whether it was more support from a partner or, you know, medication or whatever the reason. I've just seen this sort of improvement from generation to generation, and I come into it. This whole Listen to Your Mother project started when I was a younger mother with little kids. My husband was traveling constantly, and I think like a lot of people, especially those who, for whatever reason, wanted to stay home, I think I thought that was going to be the rest of my life and completely fulfilling, and as much as I was good at the work, it wasn't. There was a deep part of me that was needing something, and through writing online, I connected to all these other parents, and I reconnected to an audience from when I was an actress as a younger person, and it all kind of came together in this Listen to Your Mother project.
You write, Karen, in your intro that every woman has a mother story, a story she uses to define herself, to limit herself, to react from. And then you go on to say, using her own story, the author seeks to help adult daughters rewrite and transform their own stories. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what you both are saying. I deeply connect with what both of you are saying in my own work. I have also worked very hard for women to be able to share their own truths. And we all have shared this through creative outlets. Can you tell me a little bit about how you are able to channel this into a creative outlet in order to offer this to other mothers? Anne?
Well, when I first started writing online, my life was really separate, my online writing life and my real life. And I really wanted to find a way to bring those together. And I knew, I live in Madison, Wisconsin, and at the time I just knew that a lot of people in my real life community weren't getting this benefit of this truth sharing and this peer support that was happening online. And I wanted to bridge that gap. And that's what I did through the project, is not only with holding auditions and encouraging people who'd never been on stage before or never written their story to write down what's in your heart and come and share it with me, but also inviting people into the audience to just sit and be able to listen to people sharing maybe a piece of their truth and speaking maybe some of the unspeakable. Because exactly, I believe that everyone has a story, and that you don't have to be a mom. Everyone has a mother story or somebody who took that role, whether it was a grandmother or a different caretaker. So I very consciously have tried to build something where diversity in all of its ramifications of person, of region, of story, and inclusion is really at the core.
And Karen, same question with regard to your workshops and the work you do with women.
Like Anne, I started off online as well. I started blogging back in 2009 with no intention. I mean, it was just, I mean, at the time it was me struggling with body image and weight and food issues. And I started blogging, and I didn't even really read anybody else's blogs. But from there, I quickly kind of got caught up in the blogging world and met all kinds of amazing people. And ironically, my mother really didn't like the fact that I was blogging. She didn't like that I was telling my stories, and it caused a lot of friction at the time. But I knew that what I discovered through blogging and telling my story was that it healed my life. I mean, I've said that it saved my life in many ways, because the act of writing my story and writing down my thoughts and writing down how I was feeling gave me access to something that I didn't realize I didn't have access to before. And even though I had been writing professionally, I'd never really written for myself. So when I realized how powerful that was, and as I said, somewhere along the line, I decided to become a life coach. It's funny, it's been actually kind of an interesting process for me to marry my writing side and the love that I have of writing with the coaching. And I've had kind of several iterations over the years of what does coaching actually look like, and, you know, how do I want to offer that to others. What I do now, a lot of the workshops and private coaching heavily involves writing, because I know how important it is for women to have that opportunity to tell their story and to have it witnessed. Just like what Anne said, it's just a sort of a slightly different kind of venue or format, I guess.
In both cases, you've turned to and sought real women, not celebrities or those who are famous. Tell me a little bit about that statement, Anne.
I mean, of course, it includes people. Real people are also celebrities and professionals. But this whole project was designed with intention to have a podium where people were reading their words. I knew intuitively and from my experience on stage that if I was asking people to memorize, that it would just be disenfranchising a huge portion of the population that might consider it. If I kept it really simple, like, all you literally have to do is read your words from the podium. And I've had people who are phobic, many people of public speaking, whose story is pressing on them to the extent that they are willing to take this leap with Listen to Your Mother because of the way we designed that.
And Karen?
So we are all real women, right? I mean, it's funny because I once wrote a blog post about that very subject, like, what are real women? Like, people would say, you know, real women have curves and, you know, that kind of thing. But real women, I mean, it's funny, earlier you mentioned the patriarchy, right? And that's a big subject, and I'm not a male basher by any stretch, but real women have just so much to offer, and even that sounds patronizing in a way, but women have not allowed themselves full self-expression or self-expression in a variety of different ways, whether it's, you know, their truth or their sexuality or their passions, whatever they are. And because of that, because they haven't been able to fully express themselves, there's a lot, I mean, it's what causes sickness and unease and physical problems that women have. So for me, it's not a choice of celebrities or not celebrities. It's women, all women, who need to express themselves. And I mean, if I can just say really quickly, I'm in the process of writing my third book, and it's going to be about my grandmother, who I was her legal guardian for 4 years before she died in October. And what I realize is that her story is rich with lack of self-expression, and what we were able to accomplish together in the 4 years before she died, without me realizing that this is what we were doing together, is being able to help tell her story and give her the opportunity to be fully self-expressed.
Sure. In both of your works, you're talking about the generational patterns, but I'm wondering if you also hope that women will be given the opportunity to vent, to explore their relationship, or does that also include breaking out of negative generational patterns, Anne?
I mean, the generational aspect of it is powerful, but certainly the focus is for self-expression, like Karen was saying. Maya Angelou has a quote about how bearing the untold story inside of you. I'm terrible at paraphrasing, but it's very tough not to self-express. And that's what I was struggling with before this project was born. I'm like, do I need a third kid? What do I need? And what I needed was self-expression. And in the context of community, and I think one of the most meaningful things to me has been when older women attend the event and come up and say thank you, and I feel they didn't get this kind of opportunity. I mean, we know that there wasn't a mom blog or, you know, blogosphere, and there wasn't this sort of communal public sharing that's really rampant right now and pretty amazing. Of course, it has a downside like everything, but it's a pretty amazing phenomenon that's happening right now with women and self-expression and motherhood. And that's really the goal, not only for the person on the podium, but for the people in the audience to benefit from that. There's many people who will never get on stage, but the power of hearing someone getting on stage and sharing their story that might have parallels to yours and saying, it's okay and you are not alone, is just really impactful.
I do agree with that. Can women create peace for themselves if their mothers are dead or they're not speaking and may not ever be speaking, Karen?
Absolutely. In fact, I say my work, your mother does not have to participate. She doesn't have to be alive. You don't have to be speaking to her, not speaking to her. There's no rules like that. The goal of doing this work is so that you hold your mother's hand and skip happily into the sunset. That's not what you want. That's absolutely. Mothers do not have to be involved. And getting back to your question about venting, I spent a lot of my adult life venting about my mom and wanting to tell anyone who would listen all the ways she did me wrong. And I realized that that was holding me back. That wasn't me telling my story. That was me holding myself back in a lot of ways. So while there's always a valid reason to sometimes be annoyed or frustrated or angry, you know, when you're chronically in that mode, it's just hurting you, not hurting anyone else, and not that you're trying to hurt anyone else, but you know what I mean? It can be very destructive to be in that mode for a long time. But at the same time, I'm not one who says, oh, just be positive all the time, because that's not realistic either.
Yes. But we all know people for whom their relationships to their mothers are so complicated that they have put this relationship in a box, mm-hmm. closed the box, shut the door, and have gone on with their lives with this box, which is the unsaid truth. So they've sidestepped, you know, their voice and their truth. What can you say about that, Anne?
I think that people know. And the reason I think they know, and you'll have to forgive me. I keep bringing it back to Listen to Your Mother because that's my association with all this work. So
sure.
I can only speak by my experience. I haven't done mother research. And so what I see and hear is that when you go to a typical theatrical production, I think there's a sense among most people in the audience, like, I would never do that. Like, I could never do that, right? Like, I could never get on stage in front of hundreds of people and, like, memorize lines, and that looks terrifying. And what happens at Listen to Your Mother shows is that people see their friends and neighbors on stage, and they immediately either start talking about their story in the ladies' room after the show, or they feel the story, like, pressing at them. And I think that box is what you're talking about. And I think it's you can keep a lid on that box, but there's going to be things in your life or in people's lives around you, whether it's developmental milestones or in your relationships, that are going to press at that box, and that tension is going to build and build. And you, I think eventually you're going to want to reckon with it to have a healthy life. And I love that distinction that Karen made between just venting and really owning your story and using it to forward your own life. So I do think that we all will reckon with these relationships and stories over time, where they do. I do agree. I do think they do make you sick unless they're expressed.
I think we all know people for whom these become demons. And in some ways, these demons are harder and harder to exorcise as we get older. Would you agree, Karen?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm 53 and I've only sort of started doing this, you know, in the past, I don't know, 10 years, but really even 5 years has been sort of like the most intense period of time for me doing this. It's not like, oh, miracle, I'm all fixed or whatever, but my health has vastly improved over time. And it's not that I was super sick before, but I'm a healthier person physically as well as mentally. My husband would agree, you know, that 10 years ago I was a pretty miserable person who was starting to shut people out of her life, starting to, you know, distance myself in not nice ways from people that I loved.
Sure.
And I don't do that anymore.
We're talking today to two great women about the complex and impactful relationship between mothers and daughters. Karen, when you're talking about your book, it's a really apt title. It really made me pause. The Peaceful Daughter's Guide to Separating from a Difficult Mother. Must you make peace?
You don't have to do anything. I wanted peace. I wanted to feel peaceful. A lot of people say, I just want to be happy. And for me, peace is about being okay with whatever, whether it's happiness or dread, shame, anger, fear, you know, all the emotions, because we're built to feel all of them. And to me, peacefulness is how I describe being in that state of, I guess, being emotionally fluent, being able to be okay with feeling scared, be okay with feeling shame, be okay with feeling dread, you know, what are all the uncomfortable emotions are for whoever you are, it's going to be different. But peace, I chose that word specifically because it was also a matter of being okay with conflict, finding peace actually within the conflict. Peace is, I guess it is subjective, but I don't think it's a must unless you want it.
Sure. And when women become involved with Listen to Your Mother, do you see the transformation take place during the length of time that they begin the process and finish up? And do they find peace in relationships to their own mothers?
I think it's a different goal. Like, this project is about sharing your story and having a really positive community experience in a show. For some people, that does mean tapping into some really emotional and heavy stories. For other people, it's about writing humor or sharing a fond memories of their grandmother. We definitely see change in the short and the long term. The short term, it's more like, wow, I didn't even know I could do this, and I did it, and oh my gosh, I want to do it again. And in the longer term, we see people make all sorts of change in their life from having stepped outside of their comfort zone and changed their story. I mean, we've seen parents become activists. We've seen people change careers. And it's not specifically related to their primary mother relationship. Not everybody's even talking about that. But certainly about that power of expressing that story inside of you in a community environment.
Do you have an overriding philosophy for how our relationships with our mothers impacts us? And we've already discussed the generational aspect. You've discussed being close to your mother, Anne. You've discussed having a difficult relationship, Karen. But I'm wondering, let's talk about the primality of it all. Do either or both of you have any thoughts about that?
I do. I've sort of developed a mantra. A friend of mine said to me, I think even before I became mom, and it's really simple, but that a good mom is a happy mom, and so whatever that takes for you, and what that has taken for me, what that has meant for me, really I think shows itself in the project that I developed, which was surrounding myself with parents who are willing to be vulnerable and non-judgmental, and even better, laugh really hard at the together at the difficulties. So that's sort of my mothering mantra.
And Karen?
Well, I am not a mother. I never wanted to be a mother, and I married a man who has 3 children, and I've been married, it'll be almost 20 years. So the children are now grown up. In one case, they have their own kids. So I don't have a mantra in terms of to be a mother. I guess for me and for the women that I work with, or you know, anybody who's listening, because this is sort of applies whether you're a mother or not, whether you're a daughter or not. Well, I guess we're all daughters if we're women, but it's more of a question, and that is, how do I want to show up in this given situation, whatever that situation is, and knowing that I have a choice. And so showing up in my relationship with my mom, you know, I have an answer, like, how do I want to show up? How do I want to show up with my stepkids or my grandkids or my husband or whoever it is? That question is sort of like my guiding mantra. It's a question, and it's also, you know, the answer sometimes. But along with is sort of like a second question is, how can I like and respect myself in this situation? And I ask myself that question whenever I'm in contact with my mom.
And do you have any more thoughts on that line?
The title of the project, being listened to your mother, invokes feelings, mm-hmm. whether they're positive or negative. And I'm really mindful of that and always looking for ways to get the message out that we welcome all the stories, not just the pretty ones. It really is something for everyone. I mean, we have a YouTube channel. By the time the season is over, there's going to be 2,000 stories on there. And you
That's
can
amazing.
Search by keyword. And so no matter what you're going through, whether it's grief, whether it's adoption, whether it's infertility, like, that was the goal of the project, and that goal has been realized. And I always have men being like, you should do Listen to Your Father. Can men be in it? I'm like, dude, Google. There's a playlist entirely dedicated to the men of Listen to Your Mother. Like, but I do see why. I know why. But it's also a really good name for that reason. But listen to you as a mother, your mother, the person who raised you, or that mother that you didn't particularly like. There's room for all of it.
Yeah. My grandmother's story is just so in the forefront of my brain right now, and the lessons that I've learned from her. And some people call her the difficult mother's difficult mother. but yeah, and the transformation that I went through in terms of the story that I used to tell about my grandmother, you know, it's amazing. So
I get back to the comment we made a while back when I said that there is nothing more empowering than recognizing that everyone has a story to share and everyone has their truth. And whatever way you can help facilitate that for other people is ridiculously empowering. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So we're running out of time, and I'm wondering, Anne, what one thought or tip would you like to leave the listener with today?
Write your story down. If you've never considered yourself a writer, even if you've never get on stage, like Karen was talking about earlier, and for me, the process of writing will lead you to discover and remember things about your life you wouldn't have remembered otherwise, and help you discover things about your future would never have discovered if you hadn't used writing as exercise. I just highly encourage it. Get your story out and see what happens.
And Karen?
I totally second what Anne just said. And I would add that to start to become emotionally fluent, and what that means is, especially in regards to your mom, women have the psychological term is enmeshment. And what that means basically is that we believe that we're responsible for our mother's emotions, and she believes that she's responsible for ours, and like it just gets all tangled up.
and you can start to own your emotions as yours and let her be responsible for hers, not let her put responsibility onto you, that is a great first step.
We've been talking with two authors today about women's complex relationship with their mothers. In Emig's play, Listen to Your Mother can be found at a city near you. She can also be found at annsrants.com. Karen C.L. Anderson's book can be found at Amazon, or she can be found at kclandersonson.com. Thank you so much, Ann and Karen. I hope you find a follow-up to this. I never get tired of talking about and with women who feel empowered about their own motherhood or having a mother. So thank you.
Thank you
so much, Sima.
It was great.
And to the listener, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. And until next time, I hope you take care.